Welcome to the Warrior Mama Podcast, as we learn how to apply God's Word to our lives in motherhood, finding in big and small ways that the truth of the gospel applies not just to our lives as moms, but also to our children's lives, so that as we stand anchored in Him, we mother confidently with our hearts at rest. I'm so glad you're joining me today at the kitchen table. Welcome back to the table today. I am sitting here and both of us are drinking our coffees this morning, and I'm sitting with Joy Pittner. And Joy, I cannot wait for us to have this conversation today. We're going to be talking about something that I believe that most of us as moms have wrestled with. And that is this idea that the way we can get through our days has to be hanging on hopes and things other than Jesus. Now, today we're going to be talking about the fact that my friend Joy posted a post on her Instagram that said, Jesus is bigger than my glass of wine. And so we're going to be addressing the concepts of glasses of wine. But more than that, y'all, today we're really going to just be talking about how Jesus is our mainstay, how He is our anchor. So without any more talk about what we're talking about, Joy, I am so glad you're here. I am excited. I want you to introduce yourself and your family to us, and then we'll get going.
All right. Well, thank you, Bethany. I am so excited to be on this. I have listened to your podcast many times. It's been a source of so much encouragement for me as a mom. So I am just thrilled that you asked me to be on here. Let's see. So my husband, Brad, and I, we've got two kids, Marilyn and Jack. They are 12 and 11 right now. Nice and tight, close babies, 16 months apart. Mm-hmm. We live in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm from Michigan originally. He's from Colorado. And then we met working in the music industry in Nashville together, then got married, moved to Charleston, and then helped his family open a specialty kitchenware store. And that was 16 years ago. About 4 years into it, we fell in love with the business and then bought it from his parents and expanded it. And then we've just kind of been running with it ever since. We love it. So we spend our days teaching people about how to cook and hospitality and just everything that has to do with the kitchen. And we love it. But we have a little mini hobby farm where we live. So we've got chickens and a pig. My daughter rides horses. I'm a big gardener and I love Jesus.
I know. I know. And I love... Y'all have to go follow her on Instagram if you do not, because she makes cooking and having people over and hospitality so approachable. And so you equip. And yeah. I think you equip in a way that it's not fancy, but it makes you and me free to enjoy the evening. Like, we're not trapped in being the Martha in the kitchen. Like, we can enjoy the evening with our friends. And yet, honestly, you put out a reel, and this is going to date this podcast when you're recording it, but it was just so funny to me.
It's okay.
You put out the reel about the turkey and saying, it is time. And I was like, he's right. I've got to go get my turkey. And I watch you all the time. I've done so many of your things and taken so many.
Honestly, this is what we fell in love with our business. And we've been doing this for 16 years, but customers come in our store every day and we get to talk to them about how they're entertaining or what they're cooking at home. And so many customers come in and they're just nervous or trying to figure out how to do things and setting their tables. And because they've got people over and they feel this pressure, or cooking things for the first time for other people. And so we're walking through people through entertaining all the time. And we've been seeing it for 16 years, is stress and pressure people put on themselves. And so it's so rewarding when you can take that off of people and just help them realize, like, it's not about that. Right. Like, that we're doing that, and it's a fun way to bless people. And it's really fun. And it's enjoyable, but that's not the substance. It's not what it's about. And there's this burden that lifts off people when you start talking about that. And then it just gets fun instead of stressful.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, we are called to have people in our home, and we're called to enjoy that. And learning that that you can make this enjoyable and not stressful is an important, I think, learning. Like, I had to go through that. I had to learn that.
It is. It's a perspective shift. And that's, I think, my friend Casey and I always, we call it gospel-centered hospitality. And we think once you get that perspective shift of understanding the purpose of hospitality and why we're instructed to do it and how God uses hospitality, I mean, the dining room table is one of the most powerful places for people to hear and speak the gospel, because through hospitality, you have this ability to make people feel accepted and loved and wanted. And in that, they open up and they're willing to hear what you have to say. And they open up and they're willing to share more. And so you're creating, through hospitality, you're creating an environment to speak to people's hearts and to tear down walls. That's the whole point of hospitality. Food is just a little mechanism we use to like get there.
Yes. That is worthy of its own amount of time.
That could be its own podcast, but interestingly enough, what we're talking about today will kind of feed into that because well, you'll see, we'll get there.
Yes. So you posted an Instagram post that said, well, you do these boards.
And I've been doing these boards for a couple of years now. These Jesus is bigger boards.
And they're always so good. I always am wanting to like pound that like button. Like,
oh, thank you.
Yes. He is so much bigger than all of that.
Because everything.
All of them are trappings that we as women, I mean, I know I fall into. I'm believing that it's this, or I need to focus on this, or I need to focus on this, or I need to trust in this, or I need to relax with this, or I need to rest in this, and learning the sufficiency of Jesus, that he is overarchingly fully sufficient. So you put a board up that said, Jesus is, you can share it.
So the one that you reached out to me about was the Jesus is bigger than my glass of wine. Yeah. And just kind of speaking against the narrative that's out there that as moms, as women, as people, we need our glass of wine at the end of the day for whatever reason, to get through a hard day, to celebrate a good day, like that it becomes this, you know, thing that we need.
Yes.
And we don't. Mm-mm. It's good. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you firsthand, Brad and I, we enjoy our alcohol. We enjoy our wine. We sell wine at our store. So we go to Sam, we try lots of wines. Brad has an amazing palate. You know, and he's a big bourbon fan. He has guys over, they do bourbon and cigars. And which ironically is one of the most powerful places he gets to share the gospel with men is when he invites them over for cigars around a bonfire and they have a glass of bourbon and they're talking about Jesus. So there's a way that it's not to say any of this is a bad thing. I think it's very biblical to say that everything that God's created and given us is meant to be for good. Mm-hmm. But it's our perspective of it. It's how we use it that can turn it from being something good into an idol that we place over Jesus. And just having that perspective helps us keep it in line of where it's supposed to be.
Yes. And I love that, because I do think that especially over the last 2 years, I have done this in lots of different things, and God has been very faithful in going, that's an idol. That's, you're putting your hope, you're putting your trust, you're putting your happiness in something other than me, Bethany, because in the last few years, it's felt like a hot mess. And so I wanted that. And one of those places has been wine. And I've heard it from so many of my friends.
Yeah.
People saying, well, I just need a glass of wine.
Yeah. Well, I know, I think that's when I wrote this post, I think that's what had really gotten under my skin that I wanted to combat, is that I felt like I was hearing this narrative, that mommy needs a glass of wine narrative. It was just as popular in my Bible studies as it was in like a workplace environment.
Yes.
It was everywhere. You know, you go to Instagram where it's not all, you know, believers, right? And it's very popular there, but then I'm also seeing it in my Bible study. And I was like, hold on. That shouldn't be there. We need to talk about this.
How do you see it? Because I think before we go into therefore, then what is where we are going to hang our hopes? We want to identify where, and you did sort of, I think you did a really actually beautiful job. I kind of want you to reiterate. Where do you see a glass of wine? Where do you see bourbon? I mean, like, where do you see that sitting?
In terms of how we use it or just perspective of it?
Perspective.
Perspective of it.
Because I'm not anticipating. So here, let me share mine.
Okay.
Troy and I love to have a glass of wine with a really good meal.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, love it. And yep. I love to learn about it because I didn't grow up knowing. I mean, it's a place for me to, like, I'm learning different tastes and blah, 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 all that. So it's been an interesting place. So it's kind of sparked my curiosity, like, oh, I didn't know you could, whatever, you know, this could be different than this kind of, for instance.
Right. But taste profiles and the balance and the pairings, and it's really
good. Yes. And all of that, and really learning that and trying to therefore then have a conversation about that and learning and enjoying that has been enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I did see a shift for me personally, where I was hearing just in different cultural things, well, you just need to, oh, it's been a hard day. Oh, you just go get a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Or you wrote just a rosé will fix it, or fix it, or it'll make you feel better, or it'll help you relax.
Yeah. And, or it's the epitome of the thing that you look forward to at the end of the day. Put the kids to bed, have a glass of wine. Right.
And again, it's this very tenuous place, because if my heart is in the right place, which is I'm not going to the alcohol for rest or because I need it or because it will make me relax. Does that make sense? Like, if my heart is, I need to go to it for those reasons, then it is replacing the reality, which is I'm to run to Christ for a rest at the end of the day, after a hard day, a realignment of my headspace of, I mean, how did I do that day? And what do I need to clean up, Lord? And where were my issues? But they both, I mean, there's this selling point in our culture that says that will do it for you. The wine will do this.
And to some extent, it does, right?
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, there is something that happens in your brain chemically when you have alcohol that does help you relax and help you let down. They say a glass of red wine is great for your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does. So it's not to say that it doesn't do what the world says it does.
Right.
Right. But it's a Band-Aid. It's not a fix.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're getting to. And that's the heart of it all, is that it comes to your heart and your perspective of it. It's not this cold, you know, it's not this black and white issue of, like, alcohol is bad and you should never have it, or alcohol is good and leave it be. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's not this thing. And that's, I feel like that, again, kind of goes back to those biblical principles that Paul was always talking about when he's like, all things are permissible, but not everything's beneficial. And yes, you can eat anything you want, but also be careful, you know, that you're not offending your conscience. You need to know what you believe. And I think that's kind of the nut we all need to kind of get into a little bit, is what do you actually believe? And what's in your heart? Where is your conscience at? Because I think part of the problem is that a lot of people, we just kind of drift through life on these kind of things. And you start hearing these things and you hear them and you just kind of go with it because it's funny and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I mean, there's some people who are like, just, you're taking it too seriously. It's just a joke. Yes, it is a joke. Let's not pretend we don't need to hurt.
You know? Right.
It is a joke, but it's also something that gets into your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just stopping and pausing for a minute going, where am I really at on this? Am I just joking or am I not? Where is my heart really at? And just, I think that was the heart of the board, was not this deep conviction moment of, you know, let's put a line in the sand and say alcohol is bad. No, it was just this more of stop for a minute and just check yourself, check your heart, check your conscience and see where are you falling into that? Is it a joke or is it kind of not?
Yes.
You know, and I think we just need to know where our own hearts are at, and we need to know where truth is at. That's where, I mean, you just have to go back to scriptural truth, not letting the world define truth for you, not letting science or health, you know, documentation or Instagram narratives or what's popular culture, none of that can define your truth. It has to be scripturally defined.
Yes.
Right? And so I think that's our perspective. I mean, and so you take this whole conversation about alcohol and wine and you got to put it into that.
Right.
Right. And it's not biblical to say we can't drink. I mean, that's not biblical, but there are parameters around it. It should not be an idol. It should not be the thing we run to fix things, right? At the end of a hard day, we should never drink so much that we don't have control of ourselves. That's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, in that same line of it, it says we should look like we're drunk off the Holy Spirit, right? So, I mean, do you get that much joy? Do you look forward to your time with intimacy with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Like, I get more jazzed about getting to go in my little room and close the door and have my quiet time, just me and the Lord, and just abiding with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, oh, what are you going to talk to me about today? And
yeah,
talking with them. I get more excited about that than I do a glass of wine any day. And I would take that over a glass of wine 7 days a week.
Yes.
Right. And so it's kind of like, where's your heart? What are you truly looking forward to most? What do you look at? And you're like, that's really going to fill me up. That's really going to help heal my wounds. That's what's really going to bring me peace. Which one is it?
Right. Because the truth is that glass of wine for a moment might cause a momentary peace where like you sit,
right?
But it is the true peace that passes all understanding that our hearts are hungry for, that we're really longing for. And I think exactly what you said is so important, because when we are keeping this idea that we've had a discouraging day, we've had a really hard, bad day, whatever it is, in the times where I have been able to, and I think this is a hard space, so this is where I want to go into, is that, so I get to the end of my day and I'm still parenting children who make me fight them to go to bed. You know, right. We're still like, I don't know, yours probably go to bed or they're willing to put themselves to bed.
Okay.
So I'm still in that space where I'm like wrestling and, you know, please go in the bathroom and go potty and let's brush your teeth and let's get in your pajamas. And, you know, and it's all of that at the end of the day. And I need another glass of water. And I think I have a headache. And so you get to the end of a very long day. And for me, and I know that for a lot of mamas, sometimes you feel like you're not ending well, you know, it's like, oh, finally, you know, I can shake it all off and get down the stairs and, you know, and what I have found is if I can take a few minutes right there, there's an invitation from the Lord to pause with him.
Yes.
And to go, okay, God, wow, that was a day, or wow, that was just an ending to a day, you know, because sometimes I'm like feeling good about the day until we hit the back. And so I'm like, the whole end of this day just totally got torpedoed.
But yes, I know that feeling very well.
Yeah. And you're like, but it is in that, if I can encourage moms who are sitting here going, I think I may have begun to believe culturally that storyline of you get your kids in the bed and you can go enjoy a glass of wine. My encouragement to you is, what I have found is if I can get my kids in the bed and go enjoy, just like you said, go enjoy a little moment with Jesus and let him reset and reframe.
Yeah.
I mean, do you find that?
I do. I mean, because in that situation, like this is reality. Like not every day is a walk in the park, right?
No.
There are hard days and it's okay to admit that. And it's okay. You know, we can sit there and have a hard day. And like you said, we can take a few minutes and just kind of adjust our perspective. I think we need that even in the middle of the day, in those hard moments with kids. Mm-hmm. There's so many times that I just need to take a few minutes to just get my perspective back, because it's so easy to lose it in the moment, to kind of start feeling hopeless about something, to start losing patience, frustration, anger. They can kind of sneak up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to take a few minutes and you let Jesus recenter your heart and recenter your mind. And then when you're in a good place, there's nothing wrong with going and having a glass of wine.
Right.
Like, and that's, yeah, that's the whole point. Like, wine is not an evil here. It is something God has given us, and it's a good thing for us to enjoy. But we just need to make sure that when we're sitting down to have it at night, we're not, okay, this glass of wine is going to make it better. Mm-hmm. We've already stopped and we've had that moment. We're letting Jesus realign us.
Yes.
And then we're going and having the glass of wine. It's where it's at in your heart with your conscience. You're not violating your conscience when you do it that way.
Well, because my bigger issue than having like glasses of wine aren't super, super tempting to me, but you know what I will do? I don't know if this is my personality too, but I'm fixing to totally confess here. I will walk down the stairs after a bad day, or if it's like been a hot mess of a day and it's in the afternoon and like all my kids are now in bathrooms having time out, I can do it there too.
Yeah.
I will get online and I'm so bored. I will buy stuff. I will like shop. I will shop. I mean, like, I've learned now to temper it and like just throw it in carts, Bethany. But the reality is I'm allowing, and this is, and people may go, you're really picking on this, but I'm not. I don't believe what I'm allowing to happen is I'm overwhelmed by a lot of other things. And so I will go, and it may be for me, it may be for a kid, it may be for, you know, I'll go start throwing stuff in a cart, or I'll buy a few things, and it will in that second make me go, oh, okay, I feel a little better. But what I've done is I've allowed this temporary, like you said, band-aid. I've allowed this temporary moment of I'm going to deal with my overwhelm, or I'm going to deal with my discouragement or my whatever with feeling happy.
Yes.
Shopping online.
Yeah.
And instead of going, Lord, I need you to help me reframe my perspective. And then if my kids need new shirts, I can go shop for new shirts. But the new shirts are not acting like a false bomb on my soul. I mean, like, which is really what I'm letting them do. And that's an embarrassing one for me, I'll be honest, because it is, but I will do it.
But I think we all, I mean, everybody has their different things that they go to. You know, how many people go to food to comfort them? Mm-hmm. They are getting upset. They will eat a piece of chocolate. They go for the ice cream. They go for, you know, try to feed themselves, right? It could be wine. It could be a cup of coffee. It could be exercise. There's a lot of people who got to exercise to get it out. And there's scientific reasons why those things make us feel better. Why the shopping makes us feel better, and the coffee and the wine and the working out and the chocolate, like all of it. We can sit there with our natural knowledge and be like, this is self-care. Nah, but that's not biblical, right? And that's where we need to like keep our like natural knowledge, human knowledge, and spiritual knowledge, and which one trumps.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And so it's not so much about self-care. It's about soul care. Mm-hmm. That's like my big, I could write a whole board on that one, which I'm probably going to do at some point.
Yes. Yes.
Because self-care is good. You know, like there's a reason God gave us all these things. Yes, they do help us in a lot of ways, but they're never going to be the answer we need. It's just putting a band-aid. It's kind of stifling and shoving down all the things that we really need to deal with. We have this rise up in us, these feelings, these emotions, this frustration with our kids, not knowing what to do. They're in the bathrooms. You got to go deal with them. And we're just like, you know what? I'm going to jump on Instagram for a minute and just scroll for no reason, because I just want to check out. And that's kind of what we're doing. We're trying to self-soothe and check out instead of going to Jesus and saying, help me figure this out. Help me just. And if you don't know what to pray, that's okay. Sometimes we don't know. And I think we just live in this culture that it's always talking, always knows what to say. And there's a place to say, I don't even know what to pray, but I know that I need you. And you're the only thing that's going to fix this right now. You're the only thing that's going to give me peace. Even if you can't fix it, you'll give me peace right now. You're the only one who can get through to my kids' hearts. I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but I need you and I need your power. And
yes.
Please, you know, and going to that instead of all these other things that we could go to, including our glass of wine.
Right.
Aren't really going to fix anything, but just kind of take us away from going to Jesus when we need to. Mm. And then we can still enjoy those things.
Right. Because they're in the right, they're put in the right place.
Exactly. They're all things that are good and meant for our good. They just have to be in the right place or they become an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's been with the Jesus's bigger boards, that's what sparked pretty much all of them is I start hearing these narratives that I'm like, that's not the right narrative. And I start seeing it in Christian circles and I'm like, oh no. Let's rewrite the narrative. Like that's not biblical truth. Yes, self-care is good, but that's not the essence of what we need. Right. I mean, this whole Jesus is bigger than my glass of wine. I just pulled wine as an example because I think it's so just prevalent in culture right now, this I need a glass of wine. But the truth is you could substitute anything, right? Jesus is bigger than my cup of coffee. Do we want to talk about that? How we don't really need a cup of coffee. And if you're that dependent on caffeine or being nice to people because you have your coffee, like there's something going on we need to talk about.
Right.
Like you can substitute anything.
But we really do. It's very hard to fine tune that little place in our hearts.
It is.
And it is necessary. And I think changing that cultural narrative, that's what I love about what you're doing with that. When I work with women one-on-one, for instance, I mean, we talk about that a lot because there is something. So, and often for me, there's many somethings. There's many things that I need that fine tuning where I believe I need that will fulfill me or be, that will help me or be whatever, in understanding that when I feel that should raise a red flag for me. That should make me say, why do I feel like I need that?
Yeah. Like, well, I think, I feel like that's why fasting can be such a powerful spiritual discipline. And people, they go through Lent and they like give things up, but so many times they miss the purpose of it, right? And through fast, like take a break. Fast from it. And instead in those holes of where you would be filling that in, fill in your blank, whatever it is, you fill in more Jesus, right? More time with the Holy Spirit and abiding. And it shows you don't need any of that. And it's fine. You put it back in. You only fast for a period. You put these things back in because they're not bad things,
right?
You don't fast from bad things. You fast from good things.
Yes.
To help you realign yourself with spiritual truth. That the only thing you really need is Jesus.
Amen.
Period.
Yes.
Right? And then you're realigned and you're saying through the fast, you're saying, God, I want you more than I want any of these other things. Mm-hmm. Like they're good. They're great. They're beautiful gifts, but I don't want them at all compared to how much I want you.
Yes.
And you just use fasting to realign your heart. And it is, it's this heart check. It's a mind, conscience, heart check of fine tuning that. Where am I at on that? Am I going to the wine? Am I going to the coffee? Am I going to chocolate? Am I going to whatever it is?
Right. Am I going to Netflix? That,
right. Am I going to that before I go to God?
Yes. Yes. I know that for me, there have been many seasons where I've had to actually, I can't even get there. Like I have been so in hard seasons or whatever, or I'm angry. I'm a little bit angry at God because my life isn't looking great.
Yeah.
I'm not enjoying it. And so the concept of saying, well, I need more Jesus for me, there've been many times where it's been like, I mean, yeah, but like,
it can sound kind of cliche and almost like, okay, it makes it sound too easy.
But no, but what I'm saying even too, is that I can't even get there of saying, that's what I need. It's almost like I have to go, okay, God. Okay. I mean, I can see it on one level of my mind, but really, Lord, I need you to help me get hungry for Jesus. Like, I think I've so dampened down my desire for him. Yeah. I'm not even sure if I'm hungry yet for him to fast from these other things and only consume him, to only position myself there. And I know that I have had to in those seasons truly just go, Lord, I'm gonna need your help because I don't feel it at all. Right.
But to that point, like I think a lot of times God is so faithful to teach us stuff even in those moments because our faith, we live in a very sensual culture. mm-hmm. where even in the Christian culture, we have this kind of view that our emotions and how we feel is representative of where our relationship with God is at. And if I'm not feeling it, then, oh, I'm separated from him right now. There's a wall there. And it's, right. there's so much freedom when you let go of that. And I think sometimes we walk through these seasons where we don't feel close and right. we're struggling with the emotions and the feelings of faith and feeling like we're getting, you know, butterflies in our stomachs when we read our Bible, right? We go through seasons that don't feel great, but the beauty of it is that that doesn't at all affect our standing with Christ.
Right.
At all. Like, and you can stand in that moment and you can pray and you say, God, I don't feel, I'm not feeling a lot of your presence right now, but thank you, God, you're right here. You're right here. You're inside of me, whether I feel it or not. And you can right. pray in faith and in confidence of that.
Yes.
And yes. I feel like there's so much power and freedom in that and like getting past the emotions.
Yes. And he doesn't leave. He isn't. And I think that that is huge for so many people who are listening, because I do believe that there's been seasons of my life where I have believed, well, I don't feel like I'm close to God. I don't feel like he hears my prayers. And understanding instead, no, these are truths accurate in scripture.
Right.
I will not leave you or forsake you. I am full on engaged. I'm listening with bended ear, tuned
yeah.
in, hearing what you're saying. I am eyes totally zoned in on you. I am the God who sees. And understanding scriptural truths versus my feelings and having to make the choice to say, okay, then I choose to plant in these truths.
Right.
Not
absolutely.
Not my feelings.
Yeah.
Is my feelings lie?
Yeah, they do. Feelings lie all the time. And I think, honestly, let's come full circle with this. This is why we go to the glass of wine. This is why, because we get a feeling and we're chasing a feeling. We're chasing that feeling, or we can, we're not always, but we can chase a feeling from that a glass of wine gives us, or a bite of chocolate gives us, or exercise gives us, or shopping online gives us, right? We can
yeah.
chase that feeling. And because maybe we aren't getting that feeling in our quiet time with the Lord right now. And we don't have that feeling. So we're trying to find it. And we need to like push past that and realize that our faith is not about our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like truth is truth, regardless of how we feel. Like
yes.
Jesus already did the work. It is done. You are righteous.
Amen.
Period, point blank, right?
Amen.
Yes. Righteous. Like your sins are forgiven. You're not backwards and he's not seeing it all over you. You are just perfectly sinlessly standing there before him, made righteous, regardless of how you feel. You are his daughter, period.
Mm.
You know, and I think you almost have to preach it to yourself when you're not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep saying those truths over and over. And the scriptures, like you said, have your scriptures over and over that you just keep going back to. And just, it's not about how we feel. Don't chase the feeling.
That's right.
It's the truth.
Amen. Oh my goodness. And that'll preach. Y'all,
I remember. So yeah, I know you were talking earlier about a scripture, and the one that keeps coming to my mind is Romans. I think it's in Romans 5. You might have to correct me on that, but where it talks about Abraham and how Abraham, he was given the promise, right? But it didn't make any sense, right?
Yes.
It didn't make any sense. But he chose that natural knowledge, right? That, okay, I'm old and Sarah's womb is pretty much dead. That natural knowledge didn't actually deter his faith, right? That feeling didn't deter his faith. It actually made his faith grow. It bolstered his faith because he believed in the God who creates something out of nothing. Like literally, that's the verse. And I'm like, oh, do you get that? Like God is bigger than all of our natural knowledge.
Yes.
That's why I just keep going back to Jesus is bigger than everything. Even if science makes it sound a certain way, or if culture wants us to tell us, this is how it is. Like you have to believe it. This is how it is. Well, no, we believe in a God who does miracles. We believe in a God who defies our natural knowledge sometimes in order to make himself known.
Yeah.
He's the one who created everything. And he's the one who makes us righteous.
That's right. That's Hebrews. I think you're talking about, I think it's one of my favorite verses. If it's Hebrews 4, it's at the end of Hebrews 4, right before Hebrews 5, where it says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God.
Yes. Thank you. Maybe we are in Hebrews. I told you I'd get this wrong. I say things wrong. It's why I like to write. Okay.
Because I mean, that's okay. Hebrews 4:20 says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that is why his faith.
That is it right there. Oh, man. I just love it. It gives me goosebumps every time I read it. I love that verse.
Me too. It's a screensaver. It's my screensaver on my phone.
Oh my goodness. I've been reading Romans lately, and I'm just like, I'm obsessed with Romans right now. I just can't get past it. But I was going back to Hebrews. And so I think I got them a little mixed up. But yes, that just gives me goosebumps. And it, to me, that is such an incredible perspective shift on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, and you take that verse and you look at it in your parenting and in your marriage and in your job and in just in daily life, in all of our struggles, we look at that verse and it takes everything that the world wants us to see things one way. And it's, we're going to shift over here.
Yes.
Because this is biblical truth. This is the God we serve. And he is bigger than all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Love it. I love that.
And he is so good.
Oh, he's
that so has good. Been, that has been my, when my first one went to college and I began to say, what just happened? And oh my gosh. And God goes, you need to stand on the promises in the word and don't let anything make you waver. And I just, that verse is the verse that I've claimed. It's been there, you know, since then on my screensaver. I've got it memorized, but I have to keep going back. Yeah. I mean, we talk about the importance of the gospel has to be something we remind ourselves of over and over and over, because it is a new moment and it requires a new look every time.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes it doesn't, you know, walking it out, it's easy to say, sometimes it's hard to walk it out.
It is.
Right. I mean, there's times you take this really big truth, right? God is bigger than like natural knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take this really big truth and you're like, all right, so here's our concept. Like, let's take this to the extremes, because it can go to the extremes, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can sit here and say, well, we need all these vitamins in order to stay healthy. Okay. But do we trust in a God who doesn't need vitamins to keep us healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are the vitamins still good? Do I take vitamins? Yes, I do. But do I still believe God could keep me healthy without them? Yes.
Yeah.
And you got to find this, like walking it out. It's walking out this balance and walking it out, and you got to see where God's going to call you in different parts of your life. And that's a very individual thing. That's not just black and white. There are people who have, you know, he calls them to give up drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Great. There's no judgment on any of this, because I think he has called us all to different places in our walk with him. And he knows our own hearts and our own weaknesses. And he knows what we need in order to have the best relationship with him.
Yes.
What we need in order to glorify him the most with our lives. And that's going to be different for each of us. There's clear black and white sins in the Bible, not to say that there's not, there definitely is. But in terms of a lot of these areas where we're talking about good things and whether or not they can become bad things, it is very individual into where God calls us and leads us into it. And we just, we need to be brave enough to ask the questions and to check our hearts, and not just brave enough, but want something better. I think we don't want to check our hearts sometimes because we're scared he's going to say, well, I don't want you to drink anymore. I think there's a lot of people who are like, I don't want to ask that question, because what if he says no more?
Yeah.
Right. But you know what? If he does call you to that, it's because he's got something better for you. It's going to be so good in your life. And let that motivate you. And
yeah,
I mean, he has not called us to do that. We still enjoy our glass of wine. it's a big part of hospitality for us. We love offering a glass of wine to other people. And like I said, Brad has his cigar nights, and it's amazing how these men will come over who are kind of tough on the exterior, and they have a glass of bourbon. And you know what? They start talking more and opening up more. Mm-hmm. And God uses that in order to have these conversations that would not have happened, and lets Brad speak the gospel to these men who he may not have had an opportunity to do it otherwise. Mm-hmm. And you just look and you're like, all right, so God's going to call everybody to different places with it. And that's, it's right. Just, what is your perspective on it? And how are you treating it? Are you using it as, are you treating it as a good gift that God has given, and as a tool he can actually use in your life to further his kingdom and to glorify him and to help you, you know him more and to reflect him more? You know, are we keeping it in a right spot, or are we, have we kind of lost sight of that?
That's good. Those are good questions. And I think, y'all, if you do not follow Joy, you are on Instagram by your name, Joy Pittner, and we'll put that link in the show notes. But you're also, the Coastal Cupboard is your yes, store.
That's our store. It's the Coastal Cupboard.
For all of y'all who have problems shopping, and you're going to put it in the right place, but then you really want to get some really amazing things for your home.
Well, I'll tell you, we do not have an online store. I feel bad. We talk about that store all the time.
People come to pay,
like, we don't have an online store, because honestly, our favorite part of what we do is talking with people in our store, interacting with them, like getting to know them and their lives. And like, we have people come in our store that they literally come to our store because they're having the worst day, and they come to see us because they walk in our store and it feels different, and they just, it makes them feel better to come in our store.
I love that.
That's what we love.
Yeah.
I think it is too. I think God has used our store powerfully over the years, and we're very thankful for that. But that's why we don't have an online store. We're like, that's not really who we are and what we do.
It's just complicated. Well, I appreciate your time today. You have just flooded us with wisdom, and I'm excited to hear back from a lot of the listeners, their thoughts, and how that truth that God is so worthy to be bigger than all of our other things. And understanding that he has redeemed us in order to have this relationship with us so that we would walk with him in that way. It's just, I've loved today's talk.
It's been a fun conversation.
All right. Thank you for being here. And we're going to have to have a whole long conversation about hospitality. We're going to have to do
that. Fun. Yeah.
That would be good.
That would be really fun. I feel like we had a whole list of questions, and I don't even know if we tackled three of them.
I know. We did not. But it's okay. It's been so awesome.
Thanks for listening this week to the Warrior Mama podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support other Warrior Mamas, I'll tell you that one of the best ways that you can do is you can just share this podcast with your friends. You know, sometimes we love to talk about the things we like the most for our face, for our life, for our kids. Can I tell you that it would be a great blessing to begin to share with other moms the things that God is teaching you and the ways that he is growing you in him. Our prayer over here at the Warrior Mama podcast is that this podcast is something that does that for you in your life. So feel free to share it with your friends, post about it on social media, and of course, leave a rating and a review. I love seeing what God is doing in your lives. And I look forward to sitting with you at the kitchen table again next week.